To invite you to turn in your Bibles to today's New Testament reading and focus passage, as has been the past few weeks, which is the Lord's Prayer. And so though we said it together just a few moments ago, I will now read it as our scripture reading for the day. So once again, if you'd like to follow along in your own Bible or device, or if you'd like to take a pew Bible from in front of you, you're welcome to do so. This is Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 15. Pray then in this way: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. And do not bring us to the time of trial, but rescue us from the evil one. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So did anybody have a cow at the end of last year when they heard that the Pope was getting ready to change the words to the Lord's Prayer? None of you asked me about it. I'm a little upset about that. I thought you would have a moment of crisis and you would come to your pastor and ask about what the whole deal with this change in the words of the Lord's Prayer was. But maybe you learned something new with that short video clip. Towards the end of last year, the Pope mentioned that the translation, the English translation that we often use, "lead us not into temptation," it may not be the best translation of Jesus' words in the Lord's Prayer, the way that we say it. Part of what created this is that the French Catholic Church decided to stop using that exact phrasing. They stopped using the phrase, "lead us not into temptation," and they changed it to something along the lines of, "do not let us fall into temptation." In other words, Lord, help us not to fall into temptation. Help us be led away from, or help us avoid temptation or sin, which in a theological sense, after studying the scripture for all of these years, makes a lot more sense. Because as Father Jonathan said, God doesn't cause us to be tempted. God doesn't cause us to commit evil act. And saying the phrase, "lead us not into temptation," suggests that God might do that if we don't pray otherwise. So you may have learned something today. You may have learned that Jesus didn't speak English. I didn't know that before I watched that clip. Language is a complex thing. If you have ever uttered the phrase, "the plain reading of Scripture," I'm going to laugh at you, because it's been translated, and there are often different ways to translate those things. The Bible is a complex book for many reasons, but one of those reasons is that our English language is trying to get to and best understand what the original authors would have written or said. Now, I'm not suggesting to you that the whole Bible is wrong or out of whack. That's not what I'm saying, but translation is what it is. There is not always a one-to-one equivalation. There is not always a one-to-word association from ancient words to our modern English. And so we do our best to get at what the authors were intending. Now, here's the point of why I bring this up. This is our subject for today. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And the news always has subjects we can talk about as Christians and look at. But at the end of last year, they were actually dialoguing about Scripture out in the open, in the public square, on the news stations, and people who may not have even said the Lord's Prayer all of a sudden became excited because there was this idea in this news story that the Pope was getting ready to change the words of Jesus, which is, of course, inaccurate. He simply said there's a better way of translating this into English, but it got people talking and weighing this phrase, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." Upon hearing this news, as we heard about in this news report, people started asking questions like, what does it mean to be led by God? How does God lead us in the world? What is evil? Does God lead us towards evil? Does God give us temptation or evil to overcome? What is temptation? Is temptation different from sin? Does God tempt us? Does God lead us towards temptation sometimes and at other times not? Does Satan tempt us? What role does evil play in the world? Can we avoid temptation or evil with God's leading? I only wish we could ask such big questions for all of Scripture that we recite and look at sometimes day after day or year after year, the Scripture that we often read over and over again, and we gloss over. And we say, well, that's the words of Scripture, and I'm just not going to think about it any more deeply. Yet this controversy over translation caused us to discuss and to think about this phrase, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Now, we're not going to change the words to the Lord's Prayer in this congregation as we say it. As they mentioned, there are ultimately 2.2 billion people you have to convince to start saying it differently. And so my guess is, and I think even Pope Francis would say, we're probably not going to change the English translation anytime soon. It's how we know the prayer. It's how we understand the prayer. And at the very least, when we say, lead us not into temptation, you can know, or at least you can acknowledge that we are ultimately asking God to lead us away from temptation, to be with us, to guide us, to give us the strength not to fall into evil or sin or temptation. This is why we've been breaking down the Lord's Prayer. This is why we've been dissecting every single clause of this Lord's Prayer. That's why we broke down Our Father in Heaven, hallowed be your name, because there's more than just a simple phrase there to gloss over. That's why we broke down other parts of the prayer as well. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. What does it mean to say, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven? There's more than just a glossy reading. Give us this day our daily bread. It sounds simple enough, but it has deep and wide-ranging implications. Forgive us our trespasses or our debts or our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Wide-reaching implications, deep meaning. And even today, in this final phrase, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. There is a deepness there about who God is, about how we depend on God and what God expects of us, and how we pray. We've learned the past few weeks, and I think we've especially learned through this news report, that the Lord's Prayer has great weight and meaning for us as individual Christians and as the church. But I think even based on that report we just saw, even those who are seekers who may not yet know Christ are somehow tuned in and thinking about what is God doing in the world? Who is God? What is God about? Who is Jesus? So people's ears were perked when they heard this, quite frankly, seemingly insignificant claim by the Pope. Because he's not the first to suggest this, by the way. In fact, your Bible may not say, lead us into temptation. The New Century Version says, do not cause us to be tempted, but save us from the evil one. The CEV says, keep us from being tempted and protect us from evil. The New Living Translation says, don't let us yield to temptation. The Message, which is a paraphrase, says, keep us safe from ourselves. And so there are many ways already that we have interpreted these words, and we continue to interpret these words of what it means when Jesus asks us or tells us how to pray. When Jesus says, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, we can expand upon that and think, what is Jesus getting at? In this portion of the Lord's Prayer, we are asking God to be strong, though we are weak. In this prayer, we are acknowledging our powerlessness in fighting evil and against evil. In this prayer, we are acknowledging that we fall short, that we are easily swayed, and that we are easily tempted, and that we depend on God and need God to lead us away from those things that draw us into sin or tempt us to sin. The past few Wednesday nights, we've been talking about the seven deadly sins. Now, as I'll remind you, as I have reminded our Wednesday night crew, the Bible does not lay out seven deadly sins. This is just a Bible that looks at what culture has called the seven deadly sins and sees what Scripture has to say about them. So we've looked at things such as greed and envy and lust and gluttony. We've looked at these and we've sort of determined that there's a pattern amongst each of these seven deadly sins. They're often not rooted in bad things. They often don't begin with evil. They come about when we abuse the good gifts of God. So, for instance, when we are greedy, we become obsessed with wealth to an unhealthy degree, and we hoard for ourselves at the expense of others. It doesn't mean that wealth or having possessions is bad in and of itself. It means that we can go astray. When we lust, we remove boundaries of proper relationship. We compromise our commitments to our loved ones, and we hence abuse others and treat them as objects. It's not saying that us being attracted to others is inherently wrong. It's the way in which we allow ourselves to move beyond those boundaries. When we take part in gluttony, when we eat excessively, it's not suggesting that food is evil. It's suggesting that we have the temptation to take that gift of food and to run with it, and to eat and to eat and to eat and allow it to harm us and take from others. Praying this Lord's Prayer in many ways is saying, keep us from these temptations that so easily ensnare us. Lead us away from taking the good things you have given us, O God. Help us not to abuse the good gifts in this world. Help us not to abuse our relationships. Help us not to abuse others in our communities. Help us to celebrate and in a healthy, Christ-like manner, enjoy the good things that we have. Isn't that what the season of Lent is all about to begin with? Once again, some of you may be practicing a fast during this Lenten season, and some of you may not, and that's okay. But the point is the season of Lent is a time where we reflect on what it means to be dependent on God, physically, emotionally, mentally, and spiritually. To understand that we have desert experiences in the same way that Jesus wandered in the desert, in the wilderness, and that we depend on God to keep us from temptation and to hold us up when we most need it. This line of the Lord's Prayer, in many ways, is the story of Lent. In many ways, it's Lent summed up. Lord, keep us from giving in to the temptation that harms us. Help us to place our trust in you to lead us from sin and evil. Help us to look to your face instead of the face of the devil to get what we want and what we need. I have faith that when we trust in God's leadership, as individuals and as a church, we will become strong in the Lord and we will set our mind on holy things. This is not simply about avoiding sin. It's not simply about avoiding temptation. This is about having joy and peace with the good things that God gives us and lays before us. And we enjoy those things with the lens of Jesus Christ. We look to Jesus to show us how we can enjoy our relationships, how we can enjoy the blessings that God has given us. And we grow as disciples because we allow ourselves to be mastered by nothing in this world except Jesus. If in Christ we can resist temptation and the sin that so easily entangles us, we are following Jesus. This ending of the Lord's Prayer is ultimately a request for God to lead us as we go, saying, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. It's saying, help us walk closer to you, O God. Help us to be close with you, Jesus. Spirit, guide our steps and lead us away from these things that harm us, harm others, and harm our relationship with Christ. It is how we ask God to guide us. It's about Christ walking with us every step of the way, even in the most trying of times and the most difficult and evil of times. We believe that in Christ there is a fulfilling path away from sin and temptation. And so we should pray this prayer every day for all of the reasons that we have talked about the past few weeks. But it is ultimately about following Jesus more closely and being led away from those things that seek to overtake us. At the end of this last week, I was at a conference in Winston-Salem. Being a new person in North Carolina, I'd never been there before. So I was glad to see that all I had to do was hop on 40 and drive straight down to Winston-Salem, which was great. But once I got there, I didn't know my way around. It's not a small place. It's bigger than Black Mountain. When I got there, I, of course, had to pull out my trusty GPS on my phone called Waze, W-A-Z-E. If you need a good GPS, there's my endorsement. And part of the reason I endorse it is because not only will it get you from point A to point B, so I needed to know how to get from the church to my hotel, to a restaurant, back to the church, back to my hotel, and so on and so on. I needed that in Winston-Salem. It was about a 5 or 10 minute drive apart, but I needed that to be able to get back and forth. But what I noticed was that throughout different times of the day, this GPS would take me a different route. So one time a day, it would take me down this road. Another time of day, it took me down this road to get from the church to the hotel or back. And it does that because the GPS takes into account real-time traffic. And so there was one part of the day where it knew that there was traffic being backed up because of reports and things like that, and it took me another way or a detour. And there was another time of day where the cars may have been backed up on another road, and so therefore it took me another way. And that's why I love this GPS. It tells me the best way to go. We depended on that, Valor and I and our family, when we would drive down to Georgia and have to go through Atlanta and Nashville. We would sometimes go a different way every time because there was always a construction or an accident or something going on that we would have to avoid. I don't want to be trite and say God is our GPS, if that's what you were waiting for. But we may understand the destination of where we're going. We may know that as Christians, we anticipate and look forward to the day when we will spend eternity praising God in the presence of Jesus Christ around the throne. And we so look forward to getting there, don't we? But now we are on a journey. We are on our way there. We are growing as disciples. And that journey can get congested, it can get frustrating, there can be backups, and we need the Lord's guidance every time we set out. So every day you set out on this journey we call the Christian life, you may anticipate going one way. There may be temptation and sin waiting for you on that path, and you may need to take a detour. You may set out 1 year or 1 month planning on going down this road or this interstate, and there may be a backup, and so you are called to go on an off-ramp in order to continue on that journey. I would encourage you to make the Lord's Prayer your guidance, to pray every day or at least periodically, to be reminded that God is holy, that God is our Father, not just your Father, but our Father, the church's Father, that the church the Father guides us individually and as Christians together. You should pray that God would allow you to see the kingdom around you, to see the kingdom of God bursting forth in your communities, and that you would be able to jump in and join with what God is doing. You should pray that God would give you your daily bread, your sustenance, that which makes you live a joyous and abundant life. And you should also pray that for others around the world and live it out. You should ask daily for God's forgiveness because we fall short every day. And not only should you pray for God's forgiveness, you must also ask that God would be with you and give you the strength to forgive others. Because as we learned, That is just as important to God that we would forgive others as anything else. And then finally, like today, that your prayer would ask God to be with you as you seek to avoid sin, the temptation that entails us sometimes day by day or in certain seasons of our lives. The Lord's Prayer, it is a way we can seek God's face and guidance day by day. So just because this sermon series is ending, let's not stop reflecting on these words. May it be a presence for us as individuals and a church as we continue to serve Christ in Black Mountain and beyond. The Spirit is there. The Spirit is here, guiding us every step of the way. Let's keep that in mind as we move towards Holy Week, when we celebrate Jesus' entry into the Holy City, when we reflect on His Last Supper and His journey to the cross on Good Friday, and as we look to the empty tomb. Let's pray together.